Good to be back in Scott County. I was here on Wednesday night. Had a good trip to Africa. Got a lot accomplished there. Put on the roof on a third church up there. Got a chance to preach in all three of the churches that we started up at the lake. And every one of them was full. That was good to see. 101, you guys put the roof on. It was packed. They need an addition. So, and that's the one that 12 people got saved. In that village, There's about 30 kids there that had come from the Congo. Something that I've not seen in that area that I saw this time, there were some refugee tents set up because it's getting a little bit hot in the Congo and people are starting to cross over into Zambia. And that's the first time I've actually saw those refugee tents. But there's about 30 kids in that village. They have some distant relatives there, but their mom and dads aren't there. And they were starting to try to feed them. And Lord willing, we're going to be able to send a lady up there who that's what her ministry is going to be. She's going to get those 30 kids once a day, give them a good meal. There are people they can stay with, but the way it works there is that if it's not part of your family, they get what's left over and what's extra. So they're dirtier than the other kids. They're hungry because the people who take care of them can't take care of their own kids. And so we have an opportunity to go in there and do that, to feed these kids. You can't really put an orphanage there because we don't know when they'll have to go back to the Congo. But while they're there, we're going to send a lady up whose job's going to feed those 30 kids every day, give them a Bible lesson, because if you just meet their physical needs, not their spiritual needs, you're not helping them. But that's just something that we saw in that area is there's so many needs. You know, now that we've got these three churches done and they're having Bible studies and outreach. Remember I told you about the lady whose house burnt down? And she lost her husband and her kids. Well, we were in that church. She goes to the new church we just started. So on that Sunday, we had preached in Munchie Village, got in a boat, came over to this church at 2:00, and we preached that service. It was their first service, and they had some people up there singing, and they were, they don't ever stand still. They're moving, and they do hand signals and choir. And there was a lady up there, and the guy next to me said, "Do you know who she is?" I said, "No." And she had a big old smile on her face, and he said, "That's the lady whose house burnt down." And now think about that. She lost her husband. She lost three kids. That was back in September. You could not have picked her out in a crowd and said, "That's the woman that went through that." You couldn't have done that. And then somebody walked up to me and handed me a baby to hold. And I was holding the baby, and I didn't even know whose baby it was. And then somebody came back and said, "You know whose baby that is?" I said, "No, I don't. I need to find her, though, eventually." You know, that was the only baby that lived. The other ones died. You know, and I got to meet the young lady afterwards, got a picture with her. Remember, we were able to build her a new house. And guys, she had a smile on her face that only God could give her, right? I mean, she had a peace. You would not have known she went through that back in September because she had a real power inside of her. Now, the reason why she's singing in the choir. She's serving God. She didn't let that get her down. She didn't let that stop her. In fact, that drew her closer to God because we were able to reach all the way across an ocean. And to build that house, it didn't cost much money, but we were able to go there, build her a house, and let her know that the God of the Bible is real. With just a little bit of money, we were able to be God's hands and feet that were able to hug that lady. And now, I mean, you couldn't tell. She has a joy that only God can give her, a peace that one day she'll see her family again. And that was just a blessing. That's why we go and we build churches in places like that, because they don't have that community. Until that church was there, there literally was no light in that village. Now, it's a neat place. It's in front of you is Lake Tanganyika. And this is the biggest village in that area. And it comes up in a flat area like this. And Fraser bought a piece of property on top of this hill. And literally that Sunday morning, out those doors, you got a beautiful view. I mean, if you had to pay for that view in America, you couldn't afford it. And I thought, man, how good is God, you know? I mean, and truly, that church is sitting where you would put a lighthouse, which is pretty cool. So, you know, it doesn't take long for people in that, the churches that are around don't have the truth. And when you have the truth, it attracts people. And I'm just excited. And thank you for having a part in that. Thank you for having a part in loving on that lady. And planting churches. And there's still a whole lot of villages that I've never been in. And if the Lord allows us with that ministry, we're going to continue to do that. And the only reason why we can is because we're at a point in that ministry where we have a Bible Institute in a Christian school that's turning out young people that have a godly desire to do something for him. It's giving us workers. Before, we didn't have enough workers. Now we've got workers, people that are willing to take churches and move places. Like this young lady, she's 24 years old. She's going to move up to the lake, and she's going to help take care of those kids. You know, and I'm thankful for that opportunity. You know, now you dial it back and you come back to America. And you know what I'm reminded about as soon as you hit the shores of America? Man, America needs the Lord. All right, so we got work to do here. You know, you got work to do when you go to work tomorrow, when you're at a gas station. There are lost people all around us, and it's our opportunity to be that light, to show them that what's inside of you is different than what they have. When you smile and when you have hope and when you're pressing on, they're going to wonder what you have, because out there in the world, they're just chasing things that are never going to meet their needs, you know. So it was a good trip, but always glad to get home. And next thing for us is cowboy camp. So would you be praying about that? After the service, if you can help me, we're just going to have a quick meeting just to get an idea of who would like to help. We're going to need teachers, people with crafts and food, and it's a lot of work. But Heather told me that there are people that call her and ask her, when are we having cowboy camp? Because they want to make sure they don't go on vacation while we're doing that. And this is our third year. We've been building on it for 3 years, and now people in the community have begin to look at that. Hey, when's cowboy camp? It's an opportunity that we have. You say, well, what can we do? Believe me, there's something for everybody to do, whether it's setting up or helping with the kids or just meeting parents when they drop their kids off. You know, our goal is if they don't have a church, we want them to come try this one out, right? So pray for that. We'll have a meeting right after the morning service. All right, Brother Ronnie.
All right, if everybody please stand and get a hymn book and turn to hymn number 260. Our brother Deacon's come forth to receive the morning offering. Brother Michael, would you ask blessing on offering, please?
Amen. Prepare. Thank you, Lord, praise your name for the breath that I breathe. Thank you, Lord, for every blessing I receive. Please keep me humble and, Lord, send me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I needed you so bad. You saved my soul, and I'm so glad. Please use me, Lord, that's my plea. Let the light shine in me, so the whole world may see. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I've been mocked when I've prayed. I don't care what people say. Thank you, Lord, you've been so good to me. Please keep me humble and, Lord, send me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I needed you so bad. You saved my soul, and I'm so glad. Please use me, Lord, that's my plea. Let the light shine in me, so the whole world may see. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. Stains and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die.
Amen. Thank you for those two good songs. I appreciate them. I was just thinking as Natalie was singing that you know, to the world, you know, we honor and celebrate somebody's death that died for us. And you know, it must be odd to somebody who's not a believer that when we talk about the blood of Christ and how it cleanses us from all unrighteousness, that the reason why that we get to go to heaven isn't because of who we are, it's because of what Jesus Christ did for us, that he would actually love not just me, but love you and love the world enough to rescue us. You know, that's why you have this song, Rescue the Perishing. You sing songs about the blood. And it's that sacrifice that he did on that cross is the reason why I can go to heaven. Because his life paid for mine. Not only, now one person to one person, right? But God, in his righteousness, his blood was sufficient enough to cleanse all from unrighteousness. Not just me, not just people that are born during this century, but anybody that's ever been born or ever going to be born, the blood of Christ, what he did, the payment, his life so precious that he satisfied his Father in heaven so that you and I don't have to go pay for that ourselves. And that's something certainly we should never get over. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible that I like to go to. We're going to spend just a little bit of time here and then on to another chapter this morning, John chapter 17. The reason why I like this chapter, it is a very, very in-depth, close look at a conversation that Jesus is having with his Heavenly Father. I mean, not oftentimes you get to be present in somebody's prayer life. You figure when you're praying, that's a private thing between you and the Lord, something that maybe you don't want to be public because it's your sometimes your rawest emotions is when you're praying to God. Well, God saw fit to let us look into Jesus praying, not only here, but we got to see it in the garden. Some very, very precious times between Jesus and his Father as he's just bearing his heart to him. What's neat about this chapter is it involves you and me. You know, and that's what's comforting, and I just want to look at that this morning. Father, thank you for your word. I pray you'd help us. Lord, that we would understand the world that we live in. And Lord, not only did you die for us, Lord, but you also care about, you know, our lives every day. Lord, you know what we go up against. You know what the world is like. You know what our enemy is like. Lord, you know that we need protecting. And Lord, I pray that you would just open our eyes to some of that this morning. And Lord, that it would cause us to hold on to you like we've never done before. And Father, I pray that through seeing your concern for us in this world down here would help us to be more vigilant about the world around us. And Lord, to just understand and accept the fact that we need protecting. Lord, I pray you'd help us this morning from your word. Father, I want to ask you to forgive us. Lord, we don't want to come before your throne. Lord, just without realizing the fact that we are sinners, we do let you down. And Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for where we failed you this week. Lord, that our heart would be tender to our sin. We would allow you to help us with that. And Lord, I pray you'd encourage us through your word this morning. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. And we'll begin reading in John chapter 17. We're going to pick up in verse 8. For I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And Jesus here is talking to his Father, and the verses before this, he's just going over the fact that he's doing what he came to do. The hour's come, it's time for him to go to the cross, and it's time for him to give his life for us And he's letting the Lord know, which he already knows this, that he told us what God told him to tell us. That he was faithful in preaching that, that he got the word out, that the disciples knew what they needed. And he says this, "For I have given them the words which thou hast gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I have came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Now look at verse 9. "I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." In verse 9, he's telling the Lord, he's saying, "Father, I'm getting ready to go." He knows. See, when he was there and he was by his disciples, when Peter got in trouble, he could help them. You know, when Peter got out of that boat that day and he exercised great faith by obeying the Lord. But just minutes later, what do you find Peter doing? The same thing you and I do often in our Christian life. One minute we're locked on and the next minute we're drowning. But what was neat about that is the Lord was right there. He was just steps away. He could reach out, put a hand down, and he can pick him up. But there's coming a time when he's not going to be there with him anymore. He's not going to walk down the streets with him anymore. He's not going to be side by side every day. He's not going to be able to calm their fears and help them to understand what's going around, like what was happening in the world. He's not going to be able to do that because he's going home to his Father. And what he's saying to his Father, he's saying, "In my absence, Father, I pray for them. I'm asking you to watch over them. When I was here, I could keep them, but I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm going on." And you know what he's saying? He understands that where he's leaving them is not a friendly place. He understands the world that they have to live in doesn't love the Father, and it doesn't love the Son. And they know that they're going to be walking around in a world that's hostile to the things of God. And he says, "At this point, although I love the world, I'm not praying for the world right now. I am praying for these guys." See, he had a relationship with these. You know, he was actually going to miss Peter. He's going to actually miss these guys, walking with them every day. You know what that tells me? That there is a relationship that I can have with God that's just as close as any human being on this earth if I would just seek that. Amen. Because God here, I mean, Jesus here, he's going to miss being with them. He's glad that he's moving on. He's looking forward to the day when they're going to be where he's going to be. But he also understands that they're in jeopardy down here because they're in a world that's hostile. You know, the moment you and I get saved, we switch sides. Right? We're no longer, now we become the enemy of this world. We have an opposition that we didn't have before. And he says this in verse 9, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. All mine are thine, and thine are mine. I am glorified in them. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be as one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." So he's telling his Father, "While I was here, I didn't lose any of them. Where is your salvation safe and sound? In Jesus Christ. And if he has it, you can't lose it." And he said, "I've kept them that are mine." He's not only talking about what he's going to do for them eternally, but while he was down here, he looked after them. May I tell you something? We still need somebody to look after us. Amen. I don't care how big of a man you are, or how strong of a human being you are, or how confident you are in your flesh. You cannot navigate this world alone. Everybody in this room needs help. Everybody in this room needs to have a prayer like that go up for you and I. We cannot go up against the enemy that lives out there on our own. We need that help. And when Jesus, wouldn't it be great if Jesus could actually walk with you every day? I mean, if you could just, I mean, everywhere he went with you, you would never have to worry. Whatever problem that came there, you know he could handle it, whether it was somebody died or, you know, you were hungry. Because you're walking with the God of the universe, do you understand? We still need that today. We still need safety around us because we are no match for this world, and we are no match for the devil. He's saying, while I was here, I kept those of that. Now he said, look, there's one. It's not that he lost that one. That one never belonged to him. It's not that he failed Judas. It wasn't that he wasn't able to take care of Judas. Judas never gave his life to the Lord. He was never part of that group. And he said, that one I wasn't able to keep because that one never came to me. That one never trusted me. But those that trusted me while they were here, you know, the devil would have loved. Because you know what? He knew what was going to happen. Jesus was going to die. He was going to raise again. And then not only that, that was a huge thing, right? Now sin's been taken care of, but something else was on the move. The church was going to be on the move. Not only was Jesus going home, but he sent those men out to preach all across the world, and the devil knew it. Why do you think he showed up that day on the cross and put so much pressure on Peter that day? Why? Because he knew what was going to happen. He knew that churches would be started. He knew that people would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and that the church would grow. He knows that, and he wanted everything in the world to do to stop that. Where do you think the persecution from the early church came from? It came from the enemy, and Jesus knew, hey, listen, when I go, that he's going to get turned up, and these men are going to need your help. He says in verse 13, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Do you believe the Bible is true? Give me an amen if you believe that. So, if Jesus said to his friends, to God about his friends, he said, they're not of the world, so the world is going to hate them. Do you understand if you belong to Jesus, you're not of this world either? And you're not going to fit in. If you fit in, there's a problem.
Amen.
Okay? If you are comfortable here, there's a problem. If you don't feel a little grieved by the way our nation's going and the things that are happening and the things that have become law in the past 20 years, if that doesn't hurt your heart, if you're not concerned about that, if you think those things are good things, if you think the movement that we've made in our society towards morality is helpful, if you think the things that are out there that people can get involved in, that have just become commonplace, you know, when we were in Africa, there was a couple from the Netherlands. The Netherlands and places like Iceland and places like that, they have adopted a socialistic environment. In fact, I even knew not to talk about politics with them because they think America's got it dead wrong. Over there, all their colleges are free. Over there, it's an open society. Do you know most people in the Netherlands don't get married because they've decided that morality change people down and causes a lot of problems, so they just switch relationship after relationship after relationship, and they think that's the greatest thing. They would love to impose that more on the world, and they're doing it. The problem is that's not what the Bible says. The world here is going one direction, and it's as far away from God as it possibly can get, which means it's not safe for us here. Right? I mean, it is a hostile environment out there for any family trying to live remotely for the Lord. There are so many snares. There's so many traps. There's so many pits that a person can fall to. The world is crying out to us left and right through the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And everybody is vulnerable. Nobody can go that alone. We're not strong enough by ourselves to be able to go up against this world. And God was Jesus was talking to his father, and he says, if the world hated me, they're going to hate them. This world is never going to like me and you. Why? Because we've decided to follow the Lord. Okay? We're not going to fit in, so don't even try. And that's it. So if we're not going to fit in, and he just said, the world hates me, so they're going to hate you, that means I need protecting. Right? That means I need protecting. Because I was just told that there is an enemy that's too big for me out there. I need protecting. I need somebody watching over me. I need some laws. I need some guidance. I need some safety around me, because what's out there is trying to destroy what I have. And just think about it. If he says, "Dave, the world hated me," it is going to hate you. If it tries,
put me on the cross, what is it going to do to you? You don't have the power that I have. So you know what that tells me, Brother Lloyd? I need protecting. I need a safe place. I need guidelines. I need the Bible telling me what to do. Amen. I need the Word of God speaking to my life. I need conviction. I am so thankful that in my life that I have not gotten ever to a point where the Word of God still cannot speak to my heart, because I need conviction. What does conviction do? It wakes me up. It lets me know, hey, you shouldn't do that. Conviction keeps you uncomfortable. You may fall 100 times, but thank God for conviction. That's actually a wonderful safety thing that God embedded to everybody that believes on Him. When you get around the Word of God, and the Word of God is pure and holy, you know what it's going to do? It's going to seek out those areas that aren't right in your life. It's going to make you uncomfortable. It's going to say, hey, listen, you shouldn't keep doing that, because if you do, it's going to take you down a road you're not going to be able to recover from, and we need that. And what he was pointing out to his disciples here was the fact that this is not going to be a safe place for them. It's not going to be a place that's going to love them, and they need protecting. Look at this in verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. I look at verse 15, and I think, now why would you do that? Just get us home, right? I mean, he's praying, and if God is going to answer any prayer, I promise you it's going to be one prayed by the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? This wasn't one of those prayers that maybe God's going to do. I mean, he's asking his Father, he's going to do it, and he says, I pray not that you would take them out. I'm like, no. I mean, pull the plug, get us out of here. If it's that bad, take me home, right? Don't leave me here walking around with an enemy that wants to just destroy my family. Get me out of here. Why would he leave you here? Because there's a whole world out there that doesn't belong to him, right? And he says here, just a minute, as God sent him into the world, he's sending us into the world, because God loves people. And God knows that they need to hear the truth, and he uses you and I to do it. So that's the reason why he didn't say, you know, he could have just said, come on, I'm leaving, you guys come with me. Wait till you see my home. Wouldn't you love that? To sit down and tell the disciples, listen, you're coming home with me. You're not going to have to endure this anymore. As soon as I get done with the cross, we're all leaving here, right? We'll just turn around, I'll drop a match and burn this place down, and we'll move on. He's not going to do that, because he loves people. And he wanted the word to go out. But he did say this. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from evil. He's saying, God, I pray that you would keep them from evil. When he prayed that, you know what that tells me? I can't keep from evil by myself. Because he just said, I pray that you keep them from evil, which means you can't do it without God. Because why would he ask God to do something that you could do yourself? You can't do it yourself. Amen. You will fail. All right? The temptation will get the best of you. You and I on our own cannot fight sin. Have you ever just, you had something, or you have something in your that you just can't beat, whatever it is. Have you ever just run into something that no matter how many times you tell yourself you're not going to do it, you do it anyway? And it makes you sad, you regret it, and you wish you could just get over it, right? You know what that lets you know? You're weak. You're weak by the nature of the fact you got a human flesh that was passed down to you by your father and by their. It's a genetic thing that you cannot fix outside of Jesus Christ. You cannot go it alone. You may look at that problem 1,000 times and say, I got this, I can handle that. And I promise you, you can't handle it. You can't handle it. That's why you need church. That's why you need the Bible. That's why you need Christian friends. That's why you need conviction. It's because you can't do that. And the second that you think you can and you start to pull away from those things that are a safety, why did God give the children of Israel and set them up and give them a place and told them, any enemy around you, take them out, wipe them out, don't leave them? Because he knows that it's going to leach in. If it's going to leach in, then it's going to leach in now. You don't think the stuff that's happening in the White House isn't going to erode down to each and every family in this in this country, you're crazy. Of course it is. I mean, my kids just the other day asked me about this same-sex gender thing and operations that little kids can get. I mean, do you know how crazy it is? And we don't watch regular television. I mean, you know how crazy it is to have a conversation with your 11-year-old about something like that, about how that people can actually go and get an operation and change who they are, and they're 11? You know what that tells me? It's leeching in. Do you know that there are people that are in power, that have education, that are people of notoriety in our country that believe that stuff? And we had a vice president that was out at the National Pride thing in Washington, D.C., celebrating that on the street. So let me tell you, it is going to leach everywhere. And because of that, you and I got to be more on the outlook than we've ever been on the outlook. We gotta guard our families and guard our hearts, because when you run into somebody that's got an education and they're in power and they think, well, this, they say it's okay. They say there's nothing wrong with it. They say this is the way society ought to be. And Jesus knew that, and he said, listen, the ones that are going to stay behind, they're going to need your help. And now, if you don't, you're going to see here in just a minute, you're actually mentioned in this chapter. It goes on to say, as thou hast sent me, in verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. That word sanctified means to be set apart. Neither pray I for those alone, not only those disciples, look at this, here's where you're at, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. That's you. That's you. So Jesus is saying right there, he's saying to his Father, I'm not just praying for these men right in front of me, although those are the ones I'm mentioning right now. He says, I pray for every person that's going to come after them, that's going to believe on me, because they're going to be in an area that's not safe for them. They're going to be in a hostile world that's not going to like them, and they're going to need you to protect them, because they're not going to be able to do it on their own. He's saying, I pray for, that means he prayed for you, Lloyd. That means he prayed for you, Ronnie. That means he prayed for me. He said, keep Dave safe. Keep his mind in the Bible. Watch over him. Don't let him walk alone, because he's going to need you. Right? Because we cannot, that world is hostile out there. When you look at what the Bible says, you know, when God gave them the Ten Commandments, I mean, he wrote down some pretty obvious things that you wouldn't think you'd have to tell another human being. Do you know why he did that? He was making it very clear, we need the guidance, right? We need the guidance from the Bible. We need to be told what's the right way to treat each other. We need to be told what's the right way to treat our wives. What's the right way to treat our husband? What is morality? What is right and wrong? What should we do? Because why? There's going to be so much confusion out there. Do you know what that word does? It keeps you safe. You need that. You need somebody telling you what you should do. Would any parent here just tell your kids you can do whatever you want to do? You ever just tell them, hey, eat whatever you want to eat? Somebody's going to have a conversation today at lunch and saying, quit eating all your dessert because it's going to make you sick. Because if you let them do it, what are they going to do? They're going to sit down and they're going to eat all the cake first. They're not going to want dinner. They're going to get sick in the car on their way home, and you're going to have to clean it up. So what are you going to do? You're going to tell them that's not wise. Don't do that, because you know they're not able to make those choices on their own. May I tell you something? We have to understand we can't make those choices on our own. We need the safety of that Bible telling us what we should do and shouldn't do. We need the safety of the Word of God that says, Dave, don't go there. Dave, don't think that. Dave, don't do that. Dave, don't. Why? Because I can't do it on my own. Why is he praying for them if there's no danger? Why is he asking God to keep them safe if there's no danger? Why is he going through this whole prayer if he's not worried about their well-being when he's gone? Because he knows there's an enemy out there. That's why he's doing this. He knows that they are no chance and that they absolutely, no, I mean, the word is safety. Do you know community is safety? The children of Israel, they had the country of Israel. Well, then because of sin, that eroded. But you know what he gave us today? He gave us the local church. There's safety in the local church. There's safety being involved in a church that's busy for the Lord. There's safety taking your extra time, plugging it in to the things of God. Why? Because there's safety in that. It keeps you around the things that keep you thinking about God. We already wander too much. Could you imagine if you took that away from us? We already fail as it is. Could you imagine if you took the Word of God out of there? I mean, we'd really be in trouble. He goes on to say in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I give them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Here in verse 24, he's saying the ultimate goal is for you to be where I'm at. So I don't watch like regular television, but one thing that I do like to watch with the boys, we like to watch anything documentary or because we lived in Africa, anything that's got to do with off-grid or something like that, we'll watch that. And I think it was Sean Smeltler mentioned to the kids. They said, your dad would probably like this show. So they told me about it, and you probably heard about it. It's called Alone. So we tried one episode of that, and it's a fairly addicting thing because it looks like the life of a missionary, but it's all done on purpose. You know, they take these people, they drop them off in the middle of nowheres, and they take everything away from them, and they see how long they can last, right? Well, you know, on the second season of the show, there is a missionary that's on that show. He's a missionary to Brazil. Now, his life had hit a bad spot. He was no longer married, wasn't pastoring anymore, and he told that on the show. And watching him go through this thing, he actually won it. He actually won the second episode. Now, you think, why am I mentioning something as senseless as that? Because I was watching that, and every day that they wake up, they're in a place that's hostile. It's in British Columbia, it's in Vancouver Island. It's always wet there, it's difficult. There's bears, there's wolves. In fact, the first episode, there's a guy that lasts 12 hours, and I told my son, I said, that's ridiculous. I mean, 6 hours, he quit. He hit the panic button, and I'm thinking, man, might as well call yourself a girl. You know, there were women that lasted longer than 6 hours. I told my boys, no matter what, I don't care if you die trying. You don't tap before a girl, for sure. I'm sorry. Call me not in tune with this world today, but I would be embarrassed if my kid tapped, if a boy tapped before a girl. Well, this guy lasted 6 hours. He was gone. And then one by one, in fact, there was a lady that made it to the final four. And these guys, every day they wake up, it's funny to watch their life. Some days they're excited. They're like, look at the eagle, or look at the bears, or look how beautiful this sunset is. And the next thing they're saying, I hate this place. Why am I doing this to myself? Why won't this end? It rains every day. They get into this mental thing in their mind where they're like losing it. And they're saying, you know, why am I suffering like this? And then the next day, something good will happen, and they'll be so happy, I found a snail. And I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, oh, my word, that's my life. Because some days I love it here, and some days I absolutely hate it. Some days it's the most beautiful thing in the world to be alive, and some days I just want to go home. Some days it's okay, and some days it's not. And you know what's sad is that you know that there's a way out. That's heaven. And there's a place where the suffering ends. There is a place where I don't know if this is important to you or not, but there is a place where I will never let the Lord down ever again because I can't do it. I'll be free from this flesh, and I'll be home. And you watch that whole process. you know, and you know, one day he's on and the next day he's not, and he's trying to hold on. He's saying, yeah, but I could just end it. I could just push the button, but I gotta press on. And you know why we press on for Jesus? Do you know why we still try to have godly homes? It's because of Jesus. Do you know why we try to get away from this world? It's because of Jesus, right? We have hope because of him. We can't give up. We can't let that world dictate to us what we're going to do. If there's something that's just out of control in your life, you have help, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to him and hold on to him. Just like I'm watching that, and one minute they're like, everything's horrible, I hate this place. And then the next minute, God come in our lives can come in, and he can give us that grace. He can give us that. Listen, because of him, you can still smile. Without God, you couldn't smile down here. Too much pain. But because of him, I can eke out a good day. Because of him, I can enjoy my family. Because of him, I can have a clean heart. Although it might be momentarily, I can hold on. Hey, when you're right with God, does it not feel good? When you're where God wants you, is that not just a wonderful thing? When you're not where God wants you, it is absolute miserable. Not only is it miserable for you, it's also miserable for everybody around you. Because you're not happy, because you know you're not living the way he wants you to live. And God said, listen, you need that protection. So at the end of that, this guy wins it. Well, the way they tell you that you won, you're sitting there, and they call you, and they say, time for a routine medical exam. So you don't know any. You don't know who's quit. You don't know who's tapped out. You don't know who's left. And then all of a sudden, he's sitting there and talking to this camera, and his daughter walks out the woods. And he's been in there for like 60 days. And all of a sudden, he realizes, I'm going home. And he can't control himself. He just starts crying. And he starts hugging his daughter. And the journey's over. Guys, one day, our Father's going to come through that eastern sky, and we're going home. Amen. I looked at that guy, and he's like, I get to sleep in my bed tonight. I get to have a warm meal, and I'm thinking, who cares about that? I get to be free of this body. I get to get out of this world that hates what I love. The struggle's over. But may I tell you something? Between now and then, you've got hope in the Lord. When Jesus said, he says, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Do you know why he says that? He says, the thief, it comes in to steal. The thief comes in to kill. He says, there's an enemy out there that wants to hurt you. He said, I'm the good shepherd. You know what I do? I give my life for the sheep. Not only did he die for me, but today he would stand by my side and he would fight that enemy every step of the way if I just let him. You know what? I can't lose sight of the fact that I need protecting. I need to have God right there. I need to have the guidance. I need to have the instruction from the Bible. I need his help. Do you recognize today that you need the help of God in your life? He's praying this prayer because he knew you would need it. He's the good shepherd. He says, trust me. If the enemies come, here's how much I love you. I would give my life protecting you. Woo! I mean, guys, he'll give his life protecting your home and your family. He wants you to stay safe. He knows there's an enemy. He says that enemy will come in over the wall. They're not interested in you. They're there to steal from you. They're there to steal your happiness, to steal your joy, to steal. Every time the world comes in and it's garbage, it takes a bite out of who we are. It steals from our soul. It makes us bound to this world. It hurts us. It brings things that humans shouldn't think about, humans shouldn't do, humans shouldn't be bound to that. And Jesus is saying, I'm here to help you. I'm here to deliver you. Walk with me. And I'm telling you, you just focus on him. You put all your energy into that relationship with him, and he will help you. He said he would do that. He's praying for you right there. He's saying, Father, I've got to leave them. Please protect them. Please watch over them. Please keep them. If God in heaven wasn't keeping our salvation, none of us would have it. None of us would have that. But he's also keeping our minds safe. He can help keep your thoughts safe. He can help keep your motives safe. But you got to recognize you need that. You got to recognize that you cannot. The moment you stop letting go, you know what God wants you to do? You know, the thing that was concerning during COVID is that, you know, we had a first opportunity where you could actually miss church and it's okay, right? You could go watch it at home. The problem is, with that is the devil would love that to be a normal thing. Do you know why? Because there's safety right here. Do you know? You know, sometimes, have you ever served the Lord, but you know inside your heart that you're really not where you're supposed to be, but you're still active going? Do you know why that's really important? Even though somebody could say, well, this person's that, because you know what? As long as you're engaged in something that's useful for the kingdom of heaven, you've always got a hope and you always got a chance. The moment you give that up, you're done. The moment you quit trying, game over. Because he's going to come in with forces that you can't even imagine, and it would be very difficult to dig your way out of that. But if you don't let go, if you say, I've got to do this for my... You know why you come to church this morning? For your own personal safety. That's why. Because you need to be around that book. Do you know why you stay away from the world and you listen to what... Because our own personal safety. Do you know the reason why you ought to be involved in your local church? Get it as involved in it as you possibly can. Why? For your own personal safety. Do you know why you need fellowship of other believers, even though you might have a bad week? Well, listen, if I'm around Matt and I'm not where I need to be, but he's where he needs to be, do you know it's going to be awful hard to fight that, because he's going to have a positive outlook on this life, and he's going to be talking about how good God is. You know what that's going to do? You ever been convicted about just being around another Christian who's on fire for the Lord and it just convicts you? Right? So you need the fellowship. And he's telling them all of this to say, when I'm gone, look over after them. So if he's saying that, then we need to acknowledge that, and we need to seek that ourselves. Everybody in this room ought to go to God today and say, I acknowledge the fact that I need you protecting me. I need you protecting my family. I need you to protect my mind. I need this word. I need your guidance. I need your influence more than ever. And may I tell you, is the moment you do that and you recognize you can't, it'll end in a disaster every time. Well, then now you're in a place where he can help you. See, a lot of times he wants to, but he's not going to make you. But since it's neat that he prayed for us, I wonder if we return to prayer and say, Lord, thank you. I need you to protect me today. I can't do it myself. Can you help me? Can you just help me? The enemy out there hates me. Can you help me? Wonder if we just acknowledge the fact that we live in a world that hates us and say, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it on my own. God, I need your help, please. I want to live for you. I want to do right, but I need your help. And may I tell you something? You take a broken heart to God like that, and he will help you. He'll help you, he'll help your family, and he'll help our church. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. I pray that you would help us as we just tuck these things away in our heart, the kindness of you praying for us. Lord, you reminded us that there is an enemy out there. Lord, to help us to recognize the fact that we need protecting. And Lord, that we need your guidance in our lives. Lord, we need the community of the church. We need the fellowship of the church. We need the word of God present in our lives. We need to be around each other. Lord, because this world is just getting increasingly hostile. You knew that when you left, you were leaving your children in a hostile environment. But because you love them, you were not leaving them by themselves. You asked your Heavenly Father to watch over us. And God, that includes me. But many times the problem obviously isn't you. Many times the problem's me. Because we get to the point where we don't think we need protecting. We think we can do it alone. And we end up failing. Lord, I pray this morning you would help all of us to pray a prayer in response to what you prayed for us. By acknowledging the fact that we need that help. Lord, that every wife in here would ask your help to protect her. That every husband would ask help. Every grandpa, every grandma, every every young person, Lord, that they would realize I have a chance to wreck my life. I have the ability to make wrong choices. I have the ability to let sin in my life that's gonna chase me for a long time. God, I need help in making right decisions. I need help discerning good and evil. I need guidance. I need your light. I need you to protect me more than ever in this world today. And I pray that you would do that not only in my life, but the lives of these folks here this morning. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. If you'd stand with heads bowed and eyes closed, and the ladies are already at the instrument, and maybe a good place to start this morning would be to find a place at the old-fashioned altar.